It may get a little warm here, so I was conscious of that, so I'll try not to exhaust you, which is easy to do, I think, in warm weather. But it's good. I've often thought that what would be really a joy would be that every time that somebody stood up here, including myself, including Marcel, including everybody else, that came up and had a revelation, a word. And that's to me is a great thing. You know, when the Corinthians talks, he says, when you gather together, he says, somebody comes, somebody has a teaching. Somebody has a revelation. Somebody has a hymn. Somebody has but there's something. And I think we should really be praying for each other that when we come together, we're not just coming to hear Owen or Marcel or somebody else. We're here to receive the revelation. It'll come in different ways. Maybe it might come in that hymn. It might be a song somebody says, I just got this song on my heart. I wonder if I can sing it. Well, it won't be me doing that, but I can see somebody doing that. It's a song that God's given them, a song in the night, could well be. So I said, we should pray to that end, that we would just be that sensitivity, that we'll try not to be threatened from this end of it, but it could be that there is just something really, a word of comfort. Could be so many things, that a word of direction. That just comes, but it comes, it's not just part of the sermon where you made it up, it's a part that you were praying and God reveals something to you that is a blessing. In the church that I was trained in, there was quite a bit of that of some older people who had where they were just solid as a rock could be, but they would bring and said, I think I have a word here today, and it would be right on. I don't think it was ever off, but so... So if you have a word, wait till I'm done my sermon. No, I was. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 8. You have but a little power. This is a weakness that Jesus points out. You have a little bit of power, but in other words, not much. You hardly have any power. Not, what indicting words, right? You're a little... And yet, he says, the writer says, if you you have kept my word, and despite the fact that you have almost no power, you kept my word, and you have not denied my name. So I commend you for that, but you have no power. That is not a church supposed to have power. Power to preach, power to deliver. And I think that would be true. So, we have little power, but yet an adequate resource. In ourselves, we could say the same thing. We are there's very little power here. We're not strong. We're not mighty. We're not capable. We don't pull down strongholds. We struggle many, many times. And yet, the Lord would be the one that would give that final word. And so what the early church did and what we must do is you surrender this little power that you do have, whatever we have, whatever we bring in terms of a ministry to people and to lives and to hearts. They surrendered it and placed it into the hands of the Almighty One. And that's what we, as we cry out in prayer on Wednesday nights and even on Sunday mornings, that we cry out to the Lord and say, Lord, we're not strong. We feel our weakness. We feel our trepidation. We feel this, Lord. You must. And so as we look to Him, it's the looking to Him that makes the difference. We receive from Him, and it's enough. Only once it's given over to Him. They placed it into the hands of the Almighty One. You ever felt a weakness? Ever wonder, why did I do this or why did I take that on? Man, I feel so inadequate, feel so unsure, so incapable. How in the world? You're taking something on. It could be a ministry. It could be just something that you feel you're supposed to do. But now you've got, it comes time. And what are you going to correct in your own life? If God's saying something and doing something, but we place it in the hands of the Almighty One. Whenever you know that you can't go any further, that you're weak and ineffectual, say, but Lord, you are mighty. You are mighty. And I come to you. You know, there's an expression, little is much if God is in it. Right? Little is much if God is in it. It's not, the secret is not to try harder. The secret is not to put more effort into it. That's not how any of these things work. Even I was thinking of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's not a matter of saying, really gonna press in and try harder, gotta get this experience. Oh, that's been probably part of the problem. You've been trying to get this experience for maybe a long time. Where it only comes with an absolute surrender. It's that's the only how it comes. You can, I know of a lady that was filled with the Holy Spirit. She was washing dishes, and she just was praising the Lord, and she lifted her heart up and says, Lord, I can't, I'm the only one who hasn't received this, and I don't know what I should do, so God, I'm just going to give it over to you. I'm bankrupt. I can't, I'm not ever going to, I don't know, I feel like I should make something up, make some words up, but then they would know that I was faking it, so they can't do that. Lord, here am I. I just want to tell you, I'm open and I need your power, but I can't seem to get it. And you know, right there, of course, didn't you know it, that she was filled with the Spirit and ministered to the prayer language and tongues. And it was how in the world, why did that take? Well, her straining and striving and working and laboring and all of the things that we think is going to bring something is just her. But she realized that I have got weakness, but I also have adequacy, that I belong to a Lord who can fill me and more, and even more than that. Not straining and not stressing. That's not how anything in the Christian life ever comes to you or comes to me. It just doesn't come that way. But yielding. That's the secret, to yield. And it putting everything into the hands of the Almighty One. That's the secret of peace, and that's the secret of joy. You know, I say, Lord, I need joy in my life. Well, how am I going to work this up till I get some? No, Lord, I come to you. I come to you, the joyful one. Lord, grant me your joy. Fill me with your joy. I don't have any in my own. I'm finished, Lord. But you said that, you know, that I give joy. Wow. Well, if the Lord is willing to give you your joy, instead of you just working something up, straining and striving, it's amazing how many people. I remember one person that was, they wanted to become a Christian, but we could not convince them that it was a free gift. And so I remember praying, and we explained things, and they were still striving and trying and struggling. And I don't even know to this day if they really have a clear understanding. Because all we said, listen, it's not a matter. Do you believe that Christ died for you and rose again for you? Yes, I do. But I don't know how, you know. And I said, we went through this again and again and again. And finally we had to say, look, we can't fake something here for you. They said, if you believe and confess your sins, I said, you come to Jesus, he'll save you. That's all there is to it. There's nothing beyond it. And I said, you just need to relax and come to him. Come to him, come to your Savior, and tell him that you need eternal salvation. I remember even regarding the baptism of the Spirit, I would go to meetings, and sure enough, they would invite people up for different purposes, but I'd go up, and I became in a little bit of a chronic in the sense that I would go up every time. And I'm sure they said, oh, here he comes, you know, here he comes. But I was just coming. I didn't know what else. And you know, the night that the Lord met me on his altar at this Bible camp, I was all alone. Completely by myself, I was all alone. There wasn't anybody else pushing, prodding, you know, to sing more, pray more, do more, do this. And I was just, I said, Lord, I'm just going to lay here, whatever you want to do. But God, you told me this is for today and it's for me. So I'm gonna yield it now. A little power in my strength, but adequate resources from you. So whatever you want to do, I'm going to be here quite a while. You know, I think it was about midnight when I stopped struggling and stopped trying and stopped laboring and just said, Jesus, you are the baptizer. Please touch me. I don't have any other plan, Lord. If you don't baptize me, if you're, I just got this great weakness, inability to work anything out. I can't work it up and I can't work it out. I see it in your word, but I don't know how to get from where I am to where that is. And then laying there on this, I could probably take you within a few feet of the actual spot where I was, all others had left, and I was there with Jesus. And I remember so many good things have happened, even since then, of course. But that's my point is, though, it's not ever straining or struggling or working. If it is, you know that's not what you haven't got the right thing. It's trusting, believing, allowing the Lord to be the Lord, and watch what he will do. In John chapter 15, there's a really interesting passage about bearing fruit. And bearing fruit is the same as like receiving the baptism of the Spirit in many ways. He says, you did not choose me, but, now, what words of Jesus, right? You did not choose me, but I chose you. And everybody that's here this morning, you did not choose him. He chose you. Boy, what a preciousness to that. And appointed you. See, it's not just that I chose you, I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. That's his plan for you. That's his plan for me, to bear fruit. And that should abide. This fruit abides. So that whatever, see, it even has something is really good on the end of it here. So that your fruit should abide. So that whatever you ask, you see, somehow Jesus links it to fruit bearing. Whatever you ask in my name, now think of that. Think of the implications of this. You might have a revelation on this yourself and disagree with me, but that'd be okay. You should abide. So whatever you ask in my name, anything you ask in my name, that's what he said. Am I taking that out of context? I don't think so. He may give it to you. What a God. What a Lord. What a Savior. What a giver. He said, whatever you ask, because you abide in me and because you bear fruit and that your fruit is remaining, because of that, you can ask whatever you want. Wow. That's it to me. I've seen extremes in this, and so I'm always a little hesitant. At the same time, this is what the Lord wrote, didn't he? Is it in your Bible? I think it's in my Bible. And that we'd abide in him and we'd bear fruit. In other words, the whole point of it is not to get us to heaven. I mean, you're going to go to heaven if you know Christ, but that's not the point of the Christian life, is not to try really hard to be a good person and then at the end try and... No, it's the purpose was fruit. He wants me, of all things, I don't think it's so much that he wants me to be a pastor or a missionary. It's just that he has this plan. He said, I chose you, and because I chose you, I want you to bear fruit. And that doesn't just being faithful in Sunday school or Bible class. This is something quite profound, that he may give it to you. Well, do I have to beg and plead? No, just abide, just rest. See what he will do. Tell him that maybe it hasn't happened to you before. You haven't had a sense of fruit bearing. But I have a strong feeling about this, that John 15:16, you need to claim that and stand on that, knowing that you did not choose him, he chose you. Why would he do that, right? Were things so difficult or so thin in heaven that you can't? No, I don't think so. He said, I chose you. The joy that fills our hearts thinking of that. And whatever you ask for, I would like to give that to you. Now, I don't think it's talking about silly things, crazy things, but real things, things that you need in your ministry, things that you need in your life, and the Lord would like you to ask. Maybe the sin would even be in that we were not asking. Maybe he said, ask, ask of me and see what I would do for you. Well, bearing fruit. I can't think of anything more profound than that. The Lord chose me because he's got a particular kind of fruit that I'm to bring to the table here. And you may think, you know, of your life being in the ministry, but you are in the ministry of bringing forth fruit. And to trust him for that. And not to think for a moment that you're going to be behind the door when all the good things are given out. It's funny how we can think that, right? You know, well, yeah, the Lord probably gives out fruit and he wants me to bear fruit, but I won't be here. I'll be behind the door when it happens. No, it's for today and it's for your life and it's for my life. And I think you could have the right to ask me and anybody else, say, listen, is this really the thing? Is this what you actually can ask? Well, that's what the scripture says. Bearing fruit because he loves us. It's pretty powerful. And that brings me to Acts chapter 9 and verse 10. It's a beauty. The Lord said to Ananias, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. That's the secret. I think that is the secret. That in every situation, every circumstance, in every moment of your life, the answer as you're going down, you're going to make a decision regarding this or that, you're going down the street at your job, simply say, Lord, here I am. Here I am, Lord. You go to that job situation. You go to see a neighbor. You'd like to share the Lord with a neighbor. Lord, here I am. I'm ready to do whatever you want. And the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street called Straight. There was an assignment here. But the secret was, every circumstance and every moment, that we simply turn it over to him. Here I am. Not much power at this end, but adequate resources at that end. More than adequate. But I must turn it over to him, or I will I know that I will throw that off if I somehow get my paw in there. But it's a matter, I think, of surrendering everything, every situation. But you do it now as a way of life. You get up in the morning, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. And wherever you go, wherever you do, you simply yield over to the Lord. You know, not, and there shouldn't be hardly a moment of stress to it, because it's not up to you. It's not up to me. It's up to him. And Ananias had it right. Here I am, Lord. I'm yours. I'm yours, whatever way you want to use me or not use me. I'm available to you. And I'm on assignment now. Of course, Ananias, he knew he was on assignment, and he rose and he went to the, because this was a particular thing, the street called Straight, and their Lord told him there would be somebody praying there by the name of Saul, and later became Paul. So what is this? What is the answer here? There's my job versus God's job. God has a job to work through me. His job is to flow through my life. My job is to let him. I'm to let him flow through me. That's the biggest part of my job. I wrote here, let the Lord's life flow through you, in you and through you. That's your job. And what is my job then? That is to keep the channel open. Basically, that's the secret of the Christian life. Keep the channel open and watch what God will do in and through your life. And it's quite profound. God, I keep the channel open, God does the rest. I yield to him, and he tells me to sing hymns or choruses. Just as he says, oh, and you go sing choruses. I'm working here in your life. Just trust me. So there's my job versus God's job. God's job is to look after me. My job is to sing songs. trusting Him that it's all as well. And keep the channels open. So this is not a complicated thing. I, of course, over the years, over how many years, lots of years, I've learned things. And I know that the problem with believers, Jesus followers, is that they try to produce it. They try to make it happen. They try to. And the Christian life, after many, many months and who knows, years, I suppose, they have found the Christian life to be quite arduous, quite difficult. So much so that they see the Christian life as a job rather than a relationship. They don't have that lightness of heart, that joy of belonging to the Lord. They just don't. They have worked very hard over the Christian. As a matter of fact, I think when they get to heaven, they're going to say, okay, Lord, where's my reward? Because I pressed in, I struggled, I did my best, I've done all I can do. I've been laboring, I've been teaching Sunday school, or I've been teaching the Bible class, I've been doing all the right things, Lord, so now, where's my reward? Instead of, Lord, here I am. If you don't do something through me, there's nothing going to be happening. Not now, not tomorrow, not the next day. Lord, it is entirely up to you. You must work your life through me, in me and through me. And the minute I put my hand on it to kind of steer it and to guide it along so that it makes, I think then the joy disappears and it becomes like a job rather than a relationship. It's all about relationship, about Jesus coming inside of us to do what only He can do. And then it becomes, I don't have any trouble witnessing. You know why? Because this is the best thing ever. This is just fantastic. I never have to apologize. I said, just a couple of weeks ago, I think I told you that, sharing a conversation at Delaney's. And I didn't have to worry about anything. I said, because the minute that I start telling what this is really about, that it's not a job and it's not difficult, as a matter of fact, it's not only is it not difficult, it's impossible. It's impossible to please the Lord in anything that you bring. And so you must trust Him to do what it needs to be done, but you're not the one to do it. The Lord is the one to do it. That's His plan, and that's how it works. So that this delightful thing, I don't know about you, but I can hardly stop from smiling thinking about it. Is that a shoe going to drop here pretty quick? Am I going to find out how difficult this thing really is? And I've been kind of deceiving myself. So far, I've seen nothing but what Jesus said it would be. If you abide in me, I'll bring forth much fruit for you. And the delightfulness of it, the lightness of it. I'm not trying hard. No wonder some people, they are weary of it because it's been very difficult. Trying. I remember there was a young guy, he walked through the lobby and I was doing something in here. Anyway, he walked by and he popped in and he said, oh, I said, hi, how are you doing? He says, well, doing my best. Oh, I said, I'm so discouraged now you told me that. I said, doing your best, because he had been a relatively new Christian. I said, you're doomed. You're doomed. You might as well quit right now. You're doomed. Because if you're doing your best, I am. I said, I know, I'm not doubting it. I said, I'm not doubting it for a moment that you're doing your best. Stop doing it. Let's not live that way. It's not a religion. It's not, I think, the rules of it. It's the joy of it, of letting Him work through us. And it's not difficult, it's impossible. Can't be lived. No one's ever lived it except Jesus. Never been done. And so, as we say, Lord, I know, I see your word, I see that this is a commandment of the Lord. I'm not, no doubts with that, right? So this is a commandment of the Lord. And we're to know His word, we're to know His name, and all the good things that come from that. But as far as living it, I must simply yield. And now I can't take any credit whatsoever, not one iota. Any fruit in my life came through Jesus. Any witnessing of His effectiveness came through Jesus. And even if we heard many of the songs here this morning, appreciated that. Of just the song about the Lord. It is the Lord that does this all. And our job is to simply take him at his word and let him do what he wants to do. And then you start thinking about how wonderful it is. There must be more to it than this. Well, there is in religion, but there's not in biblical Christianity. It's a finished work. It's the finished work of the cross. And our job is to appreciate it and to appropriate it to our lives. And again, how beautiful. Well, every day and in every situation. See, this is maybe the part we some will miss out on a little bit. But every day and in every situation, the Lord would say, "Let my life flow through you." And so, you know, head for your car, you get in your car, you thank the Lord. If you pray in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. If not, just thank him. Say, "Thank you, Jesus. I'm yours, Lord. Do what you want to do. It's going to be a great day. And I thank you for this day lived by your strength and by your power. And I'm not going to strain today. There's going to be challenges. There will be things probably would even come against me in the spirit realm. That doesn't matter. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And you are living your life through me, Lord. And I'm just going to enjoy this thing that you saved me. You knew it, that there wasn't just a matter of keeping the rules. So I'm just going to trust you and watch what will happen." To see this amazing, they call this all we need and more. It's all available to us. It's a matter of appropriating it to our lives and make it personal. And I see, after the first little while, I can see if I was just lucky, just that. But after the years go by, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, this is not a fluke. This is not a one-off. This is the gloriousness of the life in Christ. And he said, "Owen, many times I've taken things back into my hand. Don't let it go. Don't go. Don't you get hold of that. But don't go. That's not for you. I'm working a work. Just commit it to me. Watch what I will do." And you know when I fail? I'll tell you precisely when I fail. And you're probably the same way. I fail when I take my eyes off of the Lord and put them on me. Now it becomes my problem. And then it does feel more like a job than anything else. So the Lord would say, "Let my life flow through you. My little power," because that's what he says. He says, "You have little power." He wanted them to have more, but he said, you did honor my name and you honored my word. But my little power doesn't matter because God does the rest. As I said, that's how I see it. I may not be describing it the best way. For success, for poise, for power, for victory, what is needed? What is the need? And then we will go to the Lord and we'll commit and we'll thank him for all of our hearts, for that he's able to do in us what we're incapable of doing ourselves. And we surrender to him. And today, this Sunday, and tomorrow, Monday, every day, you say, and I say, this is the insight of, this is the secret of it. "Here I am, Lord," knowing that all else is God's responsibility. And this, I have little power, but he has all power. And if I can yield myself to him, keep my eyes on him, this thing becomes more delightful than you could ever, ever imagine. As I have experienced it thus, maybe. And I can't take one word of nothing. There's nothing about, if I sound, forgive me if I sound like I'm bragging on something. It's got nothing to do with me. It's Christ in me. And that's the only time I've ever had fruit. The only time. Not ever have I ever had fruit except for when I said, "I'm yours, Lord. I can't do this. I'm so depressed over this. This whole thing is depressing me. Would you take it over? I surrender to you." And then he comes and he says, and he dusts us off and he says, "Now listen, I dust you off. And now keep your eyes on me. Don't look anywhere else. Just keep your eyes on me." And we race out into our lives And we come back, we're crying, our clothes are ripped. And he says, "What would you looked at yourself, didn't you?" And we go, okay, that's always what happens. We look at ourselves and we get discouraged instead of looking at the Lord. And so today and every day we say, here am I. The rest, Lord, is you. But I've done all I can do, and that is to give to you. And by your grace, I'll stop straining and struggling and trying and being a good Christian. Oh, what a terrible road that is. That's a terrible road. Because it never ends. The demand never ends. There's always another requirement. Religion does that to you. It's always something else you have to do. Instead of saying, Lord, I'm done. Yeah, good. He says, good. You finished? Pretty well. Okay. That's great. Now you're sure you're done? And then suddenly, because I rush out and try and do something, because that's what I'm used to. I'm used to performance orientation. And to be able to say, okay, Lord, it's your power, but I got a little power, but you've got adequate resources for us all. I read a great story the other day. I can't remember the brother's name, but he goes back to the early 1900s, I think. They had trains anyway, whatever year that would have been. And he was a godly, godly man, this fellow that I'm going to describe to you. And they said as he'd be praying and just full of the Lord and full of the Spirit, just one of God's great men of God. And he'd get on the train, and just then it would seem that he's an older man now, right? And he would lurch, train would take off, and he would lurch against the car because he wasn't balanced, right? He'd crash it, and he'd say, glory. And the train would then go the other, backing up or going forward. He'd say, hallelujah, glory. And the train was taking off. It became his motto, and everybody knew, glory, hallelujah. And here's what they said about him. The joltings only jolted out the glories and the hallelujahs. He didn't swear. He said, glory, hallelujah. Knowing that God was working something out, even as this train ride, it's what he had for his whole life. And I thought, I wonder, can you do that? Can I do that in the Lord's strength? That whatever in life jolts us, whatever hits us, that we would just simply look and say, Lord, hallelujah. And I'm being dramatic for a point. Don't expect you to actually go down the street doing that necessarily. But glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. That's the true part. That the Lord just wants us to bring that out of us, where we say, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. You're just in your privacy of your life. And when we know your secret, you say, well, because I know their secret, because I know them, and they're abiding in Jesus. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. That's what we want. We want that tone. We want that lifting of our voices so that he gets all the glory and he gets all the praise, and that this wonderful life, this life in Christ, I think you'll find, if you have not found this, come and see me. Because I would be honored and joyful to pray with you. Because as far as I'm sure, it's a matter of not I, but Christ. And we let him do that. There's responsibility. Somebody says, this sounds like a cakewalk here. What kind of a Christianity is this? No, it's not. There's quite a bit of activity. But it's not like waiting for a train. It's not like that. It's looking to him, to his resources, and to his word. And to trust him that all is well and that he's working both to will and to do of his good pleasure. As I was sharing with the Lord with this other couple, I wasn't really sharing the Lord. I never even got to the Lord. Except I told them, I said, listen, you have to stick your head in the door of this church. We were over at Delaney's. And I said, that's what you have to do. I said, just do it. Just stick your head in. Just come, as you're walking by, he just lives over here, right? I said, just as you're walking by, stick your head in. Said, you're going to like this. You're going to like the music. You're going to like, just stick your head in. It won't take a moment. look in there on a Sunday morning, 9 or 11, just see what you discover. And I said, you might be surprised. I said, I think it's going to be better than you think. Well, as I mused on that, if I were speaking another time, I would be able to say this to them and say, listen, whatever you heard about religion, I said, scratch that. Because it's Jesus. It's not religion. It's not trying harder. It's not doing better. Just the opposite. It's resting, trusting, yielding, rejoicing, knowing that we have found the great joy, the great peace in this thing. It's not a matter of saying, well, I know it's going to get worse. No, it doesn't get worse. It gets better. And as I am older, I find that the joys are even greater, as I understand, because of revelations. So you see something and say, well, I didn't see that before. That's a revelation. I'm going to keep that for myself. I think anything can be abused. I think somebody can come and they're not really trusting the Lord. They're just living after their flesh. But I think lived in the way it's supposed to, but Christ first, and we just follow him. It's life-changing. And it just makes the journey so great. I get carried away. It's so wonderful. He is wonderful. That's what we're trying to say. So let's take a couple of minutes here. We're on holiday mode. Anybody like to just maybe you, Mark, I'd like to hear what you have to think about this. No. We've talked. Yes.
It's very strengthening so that we can walk out, we can step out because he chose us and put us in Christ.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
It's incredible.
Yeah, thank you.
The most exciting thing about this is he chose me.
Wow.
If we're looking for an open door, we're on the wrong path. Because he's already open.
That's great. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Just little joys that you've discovered on your journey. Because these things have just been on my journey. You've got lots of things like it too.
I'm sure. When you were talking, I was thinking of the Apostle Paul. He had a problem and he was struggling to overcome that problem. He wanted to be healed of that problem. And the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weakness.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes. And it's absolutely true. Thank you, Crystal. Beautiful. Anybody else? Just a thought that crossed your mind here while I was sharing. Yes. Yes.
We're going to trip, we're going to fall into snare. But when we do, it's not hopeless. That grace has given us the hope
yes.
of moving and to get up again and keep walking and not give up. And
yeah. Yes. Yeah. And that is, you simply get up again, because being in Christ, there's no condemnation.
Amen.
Yeah.
Religious grace is full of condemnation.
But not amazing grace. Another one? Yeah, but he simply took his eyes off of the Lord, didn't he? Yeah, wow. I think it's the Christ-like life is simply a matter of transferring it to him away from us. We're responsible for trusting. That's what we're responsible for. But for the doing, the power must come from him. And I'm now repeating myself, but anybody else? Barb, I can't believe that you don't have a word here. No, I didn't. Only if you. Now that you mention it. Yes. Yes. Good word. Yeah, good word. And this thing, you realize the depths of it, it's profound. It's deeper than we ever thought. It's more wonderful than we ever thought. It's more higher than we ever thought. It's we thought we were just forgiven on our way to heaven, which we were, but it's in Christ means so much more. I'll take one more, then we'll change the order. Yeah, Caroline. Yes, yes, yes. 1,000 times yes, yeah. See, when you love the Lord, and not because of anything you've done, but because of what he's done, it's mind-boggling. It's just so an easy way to live, because who wouldn't want to live like this? Sins forgiven. God just working and working your life. The joy of it all. It's wonderful. Glory, hallelujah. Let's stand. Now it's starting to get warm up here, so that's when it's time to go out to the patio. Just as I close, would you just, in your own way, your own corner here, will you just say to the Lord, here am I, Lord. Here am I. Here am I. And just make yourself available yet, because later tonight you might have to do that again as you crawl into your bed. Or over tomorrow there might be some other challenge. That's just a great challenge. But if you just say, here I am, Lord, that's all he needs. Then he's got all the parts for his end. And they can work in your life and my life in a beautiful, fantastic way. So, Lord, here I am. I can do nothing of myself. Not something. You said nothing. So we want you to have your way in us. Forgive us for the many times we put our hands upon it and wrecked it. But, Lord, we thank you for the love, joy, and peace of Jesus. And we have discovered the pearl of great price. Whatever we thought it might be good, this is better. And we thank you. Lead us and guide us and direct us. And we want to be open to you on every level. We thank you for making this thing such a delicious faith, such a great way to trust and to live. We pray this in strong, capable hands of our Lord, where there's adequate resources. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This is great patio weather, so come and join us if you can, even just for a few moments.